How do we get the most out of the way we use energy?
That means you have to use advanced materials and manage power effectively.
We are adding intelligence and using that intelligence to overcome these problems instead of adding additional infrastructure.
This is Future Lab, the online radio show from Intel Labs. I'm Jason Lopez. We know that our cars and buildings could be more energy efficient. On today's Future Lab, scientists tell us what they're working on to help bring it about with new materials and smarter systems. It takes more than a timer to make a building energy efficient, and more than a battery to make electric cars the solution they promise to be. When you drill down into it, making energy systems smarter requires thinking about these issues in a broader context. Michael Johnson visited Intel Labs in Hillsboro, Oregon, where scientists have been working on these issues, and he brings us this story.
It's nighttime in this downtown financial district, and looking up, one can see office lights and imagine the evening shift workers settling in. The question might come to mind, who decides which lights stay on? And how much heating and power to generate now that most people have gone home? And what defines how smart one building's energy management system is from another? We asked Milan Milenkovic, systems architect in energy research at Intel Labs, to explain.
Functional definition is office buildings that you normally would use that have a collection of offices, not necessarily commercial space. In terms of smart buildings, we are looking at the ones that have the additional equipment in them, either to the building management system or the additional add-ons to the IT equipment, to the normal informational technology, that would allow them to monitor and possibly control energy consumption in the building in a very broad sense, not just of the PCs and IT equipment, but also of the lighting, heating, and cooling, and possibly have some local production of energy and basically use all of those facilities to make the building more energy efficient.
Milenkovic says that a building's energy management system can't just be set on a timer.
The idea is basically to use energy in an adaptive way, basically turn things on and have the equipment up around people when they are, but conversely also have things shut down where people are not around, and adjust the ambient conditions, the heating and the cooling and the temperature, in the areas where people are to suit the level of occupancy, because it's not the same thing whether there are two of us in the conference room or whether there are 50 people. You have to manage it differently. Or if there's nobody around, then you being the building management system, can take some liberties with temperature variation.
We have computers that manage energy automatically in most office buildings, but Milenkovic says that picture is incomplete, and we have to think about those buildings and the technology that runs them in a different way.
Right now, computers operate very nicely in their own setting, but they have no ability to sense the physical world or adapt to it in any way or help control and manage it more efficiently. So much of our effort is exactly on that, instrumenting the physical world and being able to help manage and control it for the benefit of increasing energy efficiency and, let's say, increasing people comfort. So when you put it that way, it becomes really a combined cyber-physical system. And in a way, we are mimicking the way many natural systems are being done and managed, understanding that there is interaction and interplay between the components, being able to sense what's going on and then actuate and cause some control action on the basis of that. We are learning a lot in this space, but it is exactly acquiring the information, processing it, processing the sensory information, and then using it for some control action, which is very much like the way living systems operate. Many of our ideas are based on prior work on autonomic systems that, again, borrow from the living systems in terms of trying to mimic the basic flow of information and control through the systems.
So you're done with work, and say you hop into your electric vehicle, drive home, in a carpool, of course, plug in your car to charge, and you sit back thinking to yourself, you've done your part for smart energy use. But what if half your neighbors drove electric cars as well?
When we get to higher levels of electric vehicle penetration, so neighborhoods where people might have 50 or 60% of the homes might have an electric vehicle at the home, then we expect that we will start seeing problems with the infrastructure.
That's Annabelle Pratt, power research engineer in energy systems research at Intel Labs.
because an electric vehicle is actually a significant electrical load. A typical house, the power peaks at between 1.5 to 3.5 kilowatts, depending on location and time of year and size, etc. But just to give you an idea, it's in this 2 to 3 kilowatt load framework, and the charger on the electric vehicle will be in the range of 3 to 6 kilowatts. When you plug in your electric vehicle at home and you charge it at the maximum rate that that charger allows, you could see the equivalent of another home or even two homes on this infrastructure that was designed for only the 5 or 10 or 20 homes that it's serving. And we're working on approaches on how we might mitigate that problem.
Another part of the problem is the peak energy usage from 5 to 8 p.m., which can be 4 to 5 times greater than our energy use at night.
So the worst case scenario is that someone comes home and plugs in their electric vehicle and it immediately starts charging at the maximum rate, because now you're already at your peak load and you just add this significant electrical load on top of it. Even the first electric vehicles that will come out will come with a delay setting, so you can delay your charging until 11 p.m. or midnight. And so to incentivize people to move that load away from the 5-6 p.m. peak area into the evening, they will have a lower rate at that time in the evening. So it would be a cost savings incentive. Yes, I can pay 4 to 5 times less per kilowatt hour if I charge in the middle of the night.
Pratt's research proposes first to introduce intelligence into the electric vehicle itself.
Electric vehicles will already have quite a bit of hardware that allows for mapping and management of their battery energy system. So there is compute capacity there to introduce some intelligence. And this algorithm looks at what your current battery state is, so it can calculate how many kilowatt hours it has to add to the battery. And we imagine that the user would have a profile that the user can set up and say, in general, Monday through Friday, I want the car to be charged by 7 a.m. and maybe on Saturday and Sunday by 9 a.m. is fine. So they only have to set it once. There would be override capabilities for when you have to leave at 3 a.m. But in general, it will take those parameters and it will calculate the optimum way to charge this car. So it would simply calculate the best way to charge, and that would be to charge as much of the charge during the low-cost time period and also spread it out. So instead of just immediately charging or even a delay charge at 5-6 kilowatts, it might simply sit there throughout the night from midnight until 6 a.m. and charge at 1 kilowatt. So it really spreads out the load across the system.
But Pratt says that making the electric vehicle smart isn't enough. The power grid itself can benefit from optimization.
The idea here is to introduce what we call an aggregator. So within a neighborhood, it would be a node of intelligence that can communicate with the vehicles. We also really like the model where the vehicle would work through a home energy management system. So this node might actually work with a home energy management system that has a view over the total home energy use. But for the moment, we'll simplify it and just imagine the aggregator can communicate with the electric vehicles. And the vehicles can share with the aggregator what their predicted load profile is, because as soon as you plug in, it runs its algorithm and it knows what it's going to do. And the aggregator can then add all of those up and see if they add up to a peak that would be too much for the infrastructure to handle.
But even with intelligent cars running on optimized energy grids, Pratt says that the most significant aspect of this energy use scenario is people.
The way people respond to this new technology is very important. And we have the advantage here within Intel Labs. We have social scientists and anthropologists that are helping us think through all of our technical ideas that we come up with to study what happens if you really put a home energy management system in someone's home. Do they really respond after the novelty wears off? Is it a sustainable way of reducing energy consumption in a home?
From the home to the office building, technology is offering solutions for smart and efficient energy use. At a recent Research at Intel presentation, Tom Aldridge, Director of Energy Systems and Future Technology Research at Intel, summed it up this way.
Around the world, on an average, about a third of the energy that we use, the electrical energy, goes to end users, consumers like you and I. And enabling those end users to use their energy smarter will reduce the carbon footprint by a large amount, will reduce the stress on the electrical grid so that new generators and sources of energy don't have to be added as fast. And it also intangibly gives people a much better appreciation of the energy that they're using, why they're using it, and how they're using it, if they can see directly what's going on.
That's our show. Michael Johnson brought us that report. I'm Jason Lopez. If you'd like to see some photos pertaining to today's story on energy-efficient buildings and the electric car, go to Flickr and use the search terms Intel Future Lab. Future Lab is produced by Intel Labs. There's more online at intel.com/research.